Chapter 73. Preblov looked up from his huddled position on the floor of stateroom C-95 as the seal guarding the passageway outside turned the newly oiled lock and swung the door open. The seal, his M-24 held at the ready, visually checked Preblov and then stepped aside to allow another man to enter. He was carrying an attaché case and wore a business suit that begged to be pressed. A faint smile crossed his lips as Preblov studied him with a speculative gaze of surprised recognition. "Captain Preblov, I am Warren Nicholson." "I know," Preblov said, as he uncoiled to his feet and gave a very correct half-bow. "I was not prepared to entertain the chief director of the Central Intelligence Agency himself, at least not under these rather awkward circumstances. I've come personally to escort you to the United States." "I am flattered." "It is we who are flattered, Captain Preblov. You are considered a very big catch indeed." "Then it is to be an internationally publicized trial, complete with grave accusations against my government for attempted piracy on the high seas." Nicholson smiled again. "No, except for a few high-ranking members of your government and mine, I'm afraid your defection will remain a well-kept secret." Preblov squinted. "Defection." This was clearly not what he had expected. Nicholson nodded without answering. "There is no method by which you can make me willingly defect," Preblov said grimly. "I shall deny it at every opportunity." "A noble gesture," Nicholson shrugged. "However, since there will be no trial and no interrogation, a request for political asylum becomes your only escape clause." "You said no interrogation. I must accuse you of lying, Mr. Nicholson. No good intelligence service would ever pass up the chance of prying out the knowledge a man of my position could provide them." "What knowledge?" Nicholson said. "You can't tell us anything that we don't already know." Preblov's mind was off balance. Perspective, he thought. He must gain a perspective. There was only one way the Americans could have gained possession of the mass of Soviet intelligence secrets that were locked away in the files in his office in Moscow. The middle of the puzzle was incomplete, but the borders were neatly locked into place. He met Nicholson's steady gaze and spoke quietly. "Lieutenant Marganyin is one of your people." It was more statement than question. "Yes," Nicholson nodded. "His name is Harry Kuskoski, and he was born in Newark, New Jersey." "Not possible," Preblov said. "I personally checked every phase of Pavel Marganyin's life. He was born and raised in Komsomolsk-na-Amore. His family were tailors." "True, the real Marganyin was a native Russian." "Then your man is a double? Plant?" "We arranged it 4 years ago, when one of your Kashin-class missile destroyers exploded and sank in the Indian Ocean. Marganyin was one of the few survivors. He was discovered in the water by an Exxon oil tanker, but died shortly before the ship docked in Honolulu. It was a rare opportunity, and we had to work fast. Of all our Russian-speaking agents, Kuskoski came the closest to Marganyin's physical features. We surgically altered his face to make it look as though it had been disfigured in the explosion, and then airlifted him to a small, out-of-the-way island 200 miles from where your ship sank. When our bogus Soviet seaman was finally discovered by native fishermen and returned to Russia, he was delirious and suffering from an acute attack of amnesia." "I know the rest," Preblov said solemnly. "We not only repaired his face through plastic surgery to that of the genuine Marganyin, but we re-educated him to his own personal history as well." "That's pretty much the story." "A brilliant coup, Mr. Nicholson." "Coming from one of the most respected men in Soviet intelligence, I consider that a rare compliment indeed." "Then this whole scheme to place me on the Titanic was hatched by the CIA and carried through by Marganyin?" Kaskoski, alias Marganyan, was certain you would accept the plan, and you did. Prevlov gazed at the deck. He might have known. He might have guessed. Should have been suspicious from the beginning that Marganyan was slowly and intricately positioning his neck on the headman's block. He should never have fallen for it. Never. But his vanity had been his downfall, and he accepted it. "Where does this all lead?" Prevlov asked bleakly. "By now, Marganyan has produced solid proof of your, if you'll pardon the expression, traitorous activities, and has also proven, aided by planted evidence, that you intended for the Titanic mission to fail from the start. You see, Captain, the trail leading to your defection has been carefully mapped for nearly 2 years. You yourself helped matters considerably with your fondness for expensive refinements. Your superiors can draw but one conclusion from your actions. You sold out for a very high price. And if I deny it? Who would believe you? I venture to say that your name is already on the Soviet liquidation list. Then what's to become of me now? You have two choices. One, we can set you free after a proper period of time. I wouldn't last a week. I am well aware of the KGB assassin network. Your second choice is to cooperate with us. Nicholson paused, hesitated, then looked directly at Prevlov. You're a brilliant man, Captain, the best in your field. We don't like to let good brains go to waste. I don't have to paint you a picture of your value to the Western intelligence community. That's why it's my intention to set you up in charge of a new task force, a line of work you should find right up your alley. I suppose I should be grateful for that, Prevlov said dryly. Your facial appearance will be altered, of course. You'll get a cram course in English and American idioms along with our history, sports, music, and entertainment. In the end, there won't be the slightest trace of your former shell for the KGB to home in on. Interest began to form in Prevlov's eyes. Your salary will be $40,000 a year, plus expenses and a car. $40,000? Prevlov asked, trying to sound casual. That will buy quite a bit of Bombay gin. Nicholson grinned like a wolf sitting down to dinner with a wary rabbit. I think that if you really try, Captain Prevlov, you might come to enjoy the pleasures of our Western-style decadence. Don't you agree? Prevlov said nothing for several moments, but the choice was obvious. Constant fear versus a long and pleasurable life. You win, Nicholson. Nicholson shook hands and was mildly surprised to see tears welling in Prevlov's eyes.